From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
Jesus is God, and God has come to you. And you're not alone. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are not alone in this world. And anything is possible with God. You think in your life about the worst things that have happened to you. God and His sovereign power comes to you, and He can take the uncreated, the chaotic, and bring it together and make something beautiful out of it. It may take time in your life, but the timelessness of God comes into our lives, and the eternity comes into the finite. Immensity cloistered in thy dear womb, John Donne said, comes to you. Your Savior is here.
The Bible declares, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief, that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us a message entitled, Jesus is a Word We Need to Hear, as we begin our Advent series, Why God Gave Us Christmas. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the incarnate living Word? The Bible text for today's broadcast is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Jesus is the Word We Need to Hear.
In the opening verses of John's Gospel, it is like the first notes of a great symphony, the first notes of the first movement of a great symphony. And you know how those first notes are then interwoven through the entire symphony. Now, I was listening this week to what I believe are the greatest first four notes of a first movement of any symphony ever written. Now, here's why I'm doing this, because throughout the Gospel of John, you need to understand that verses 1 through 3, which we're going to read this morning, are going to affect the entire book of John. For instance, in the book of John, we are going to hear the words, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. We're going to hear the words, I and the Father are one. We will hear, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And we will even hear others proclaim His divinity. Thomas said to Him, my Lord and my God. So let's read the words. Verses 1 through 3, the opening notes of the great gospel according to St. John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This truly is the inerrant and infallible Word of the Lord for your life and mine today and always. Once upon a time, there was a tour and a tour guide, and he was in an old German university. And the tour guide led them into a particular room in this university, and with hushed and reverent tones, the guide whispered, important theologians have been discussing religious ideas in this room for 600 years. A little seven-year-old boy in the back of the tour group raised his hands and he says, "Have they come up with any answers yet?" Touché. When we think about Christmas, we don't normally think about starting off our Christmas with a great religious idea. But John, in his gospel, begins with a great theological, God-centered, Christ-exalting idea. He begins with the word. In the Greek, logos. Now, the Greeks themselves had a philosophical system which believed that this power, this energy, this non-entity called logos, the word, somehow brought into being things. It was sort of a pre-existent logos, very ethereal, very philosophical. That is not what John is talking about. The logos that John introduces to us is a word, but it is a word that is a he, and he is a word that walks around. He's a flesh and blood word. He's not a philosophical idea. He is the fullest expression of God. Now, in the Bible, Jesus is called the Word of God in other places. For instance, in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, in verse 13, we read, "He is clothed in a robe, dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." The Word, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Logos. But sometimes we can get our Christmas covered with things. It was a situation that happened in a church. They were preparing for children's Christmas play. And this one little boy didn't make the cut, so to speak. He wasn't a shepherd. He couldn't be an angel. But they said, "Son, you can be a stagehand." He said, "Okay." So his great job was to make sure that that baby doll got in that manger scene before the play went on a Sunday afternoon when the congregation would gather. And so they had done their dress rehearsal, and the angels and the shepherds had just taken off their costumes and thrown it down. And it came time for the little boy, the stagehand, to find the baby doll. And he went looking for the baby doll, who was to be Jesus in the manger, and he couldn't find Jesus. And so finally he's digging around and he finds the baby doll, and he's just really frustrated. So he goes to the children's director and says, "These angels and shepherds have buried Jesus." He had to uncover him. All of the birth narratives of the Gospels present to us shepherds and angels, and we know all of the beautiful, wonderful things that happened on that day that Christ was born. But John cuts to the chase, or rather he brings us into eternity to see the pre-existent Son of God, the Logos of God, the fullest expression of God, God Himself who became man. Now when John speaks of the Word, we need to make sure that we understand that when he says he, verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We need to make sure we understand that pronoun has an identity. In verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." John is talking about Jesus of Nazareth. We need to make sure that we understand this is what Christmas is really all about. What does it mean to be the Word of God? Matthew Henry answers in a way as clear as I've ever heard. "The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that as our words explain our minds to other, so the Son of God was sent in order to reveal his Father's mind to the world. What a glorious thing. God has come to earth. And this is the message of John in Christmas. It's mind-boggling. But anything less than that is not the gospel. Jesus is both divine and Jesus is human. Now, that is something that is outside of our ability to comprehend. But in that mystery is also our salvation. One commentator was right when he said, God the Son is here presented as the Logos, but he is no subordinate being. He's not second to the Most High, but the Logos is the supreme, eternal Jehovah. So we mustn't think of Jesus as the second person being in a sort of second rank to God the Father. No, he is God fully. There was once a professor who was trying to get across in his religious class the concept of Jesus of Nazareth, according to Christianity, he said, being both God and man. And so he put a heading on one side that said God on a blackboard. And on the other side of the blackboard, he made a heading which says man. And he had his students go through all of the gospel texts, and he would stand up there and say, okay, according to that passage about Jesus, is he God or man? And they would say, well, he's God here. And he would put that verse, and he'd go over here, and he's man here. Now, that sounds all well and fine, except for the fact it was condemned by the church in the 4th century as heresy. And in fact, as we confess the faith, we confess that Jesus of Nazareth is fully God, that he is God of God, light of light. He is begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Virgin Mary. It is impossible to separate his humanity and his divinity. Now in 451, the Council of Chalcedon was dealing with that guy, that professor, because this is a perennial problem in coming, and someone trying to break open God in order to understand him. And so in doing that, you destroy the mystery and even the truth of the gospel in order to apprehend God. And so in 451, these ministers got together and they dealt with that professor. And they said, we teach that we apprehend this one and only Christ as the Son, the Lord, the only begotten in two natures. And we do this without confusing the two natures, without transmuting one nature into the other, without dividing them into two separate categories, without contrasting them according to area or function. They are not divided, they are not cut in two, but they are together as the one and only begotten Word, the Logos of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus have the prophets of old testified, thus the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us. And you say, this is an ocean. These three verses, this opening movement is just an ocean of great theological truth. And I admit it. I came to this passage and I said, this, Lord, according to John, is the very kernel of everything that we ought to know about Christmas. But how do we present it? How do we talk about it? I want to say two things about this passage, which I believe is the word that God wants us to hear. And I have put them in a way that I hope everyone here can understand this deep theological truth, the opening movement of John's gospel. Here's the first one. This is the word God wants you to know. Jesus is God. That is what the Holy Spirit communicates through John's gospel and through this verse. Jesus is God. And I don't believe you can say a more profound thing with your lips than those words. Jesus is God. When I first said them and believed them, I literally would repeat it so I could hear it in my ear. I remember it very clearly doing that over and over again. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God. That is an amazing truth, that Jesus is God, that God has come to us and is with us. It is important for you to know that He became man for you. C.S. Lewis said the best way to understand the whole issue of the incarnation is to imagine a man wanting to understand the life of a slug, so he becomes a slug, you know, like a snail. God identifies with His own creation, desires to save His own creation by taking on human flesh. And it is hard. It is difficult to understand that, but therein is our salvation. Now, not only is Jesus God in the passage, but in the passage, God is now here. God is here. If you look at the second part of this passage, these opening notes of this symphony of John, it says in verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now this is consistent with the rest of Scripture. For Scripture, for instance, in Colossians says that all things were made by Him. All things exist for Him. In fact, all things are being sustained because of Him. You woke up this morning and you took your first breath and you're breathing now and you rose to sing praises to God because the Logos, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, desired it. And that is the only reason. He is the Creator. I believe the reason that John shows that He is now here and shows Him in that He is a creator is because we need to be recreated. The whole passage is reminiscent of the very opening verses of the Bible, perhaps also great opening notes for a great story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the Son of God comes, God in the flesh, and He's the creator. And John reveals Jesus as the Creator because you need to be recreated. You need to be recreated in your soul, in your person, in your marriage, in your relationships. Jesus of Nazareth is God, and God is here. He is here with you. We need to know that. Jesus is God, and God is here. And because of that, everything is possible. In your life, I never look into the situation that is before me, and I've never seen hopelessness, because I know what God has done in my own life and how God has recreated and is recreating me. And I couldn't think of a more discordant note than my life. But the Jesus who is here, who is God, has a creative power. And anything is possible with God. You think in your life about the worst things that have happened to you. God, in His sovereign power, comes to you and He can take the uncreated, the chaotic, and bring it together and make something beautiful out of it. It may take time in your life, but the timelessness of God comes into our lives, and the eternity comes into the finite. Immensity cloistered in thy dear womb, John Donne said, comes to you. And what seems impossible to you is really nothing for God. And that's what the whole first verses of John tell us. I got to tell you that people really need to know that. Because we live in a day where there's really a lot of hopelessness. And the teaching of the incarnation of Jesus is powerful. But some have lost hope. There is a friend of mine, a family, who recently went to China to adopt their child. And I was listening about the long flight back. I mean, can you imagine 22 hours in the air with a baby in that cabin? That's a lot. But it reminded me of what I heard after the Vietnam War. There were war babies, Vietnamese orphans, infants. And Americans went over and adopted them as their children. And there was this one family who went there to adopt a war baby from Vietnam, and they got on the plane and they were returning home, and they looked at the child, their daughter, and these new parents looked into their daughter's eyes and they saw tears. They saw tears running down the cheeks of their daughter, but she made no sound. The flight attendant saw the mom and dad who were concerned. And she came to them, having seen this situation repeatedly, as she'd seen adoptive families flying home to the United States. And she went over and she sought to comfort them. And here's what she said: the reason they don't make noise when they cry is because they learned a long time ago that nobody will come. Some people in this world are so sad, they are crying, but they no longer make any sound. They think God will not come to them, and they feel alone. But I want to say to you that in our human experience, this ought not to be. And it does not have to be. Because the word that God wants us to hear is that Jesus is God, and God is here. And He has come to bring you into His family. He has come to take war babies and adopt them into His family and make them His sons and His daughters. And you know what? I have even seen and heard tears with laughter as I've watched the war babies of our world embraced by our Heavenly Father. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if somehow in your life years ago you stopped making noise, but your eyes still well up with tears, but you can't vocalize your heart and the pain. Jesus is God, and God has come to you. The God is now here, and you're not alone. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ for you this morning. You are not alone in this world. Your Savior is here. How do I know that I can go to this passage and also commend this Jesus to you, this God who took on flesh, this God, this creative God? How can I come to you and say that creative power which raised Jesus from the dead, that creative power is your power? It's a power for your life. How can I tell you that whatever hopeless situation you have in your life, because of Jesus Christ, there's hope? Because John wrote in this book that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is what this book is about. These opening chords, these notes, are about the beauty of God with us. So two basic truths I want you to take away from this. Jesus is God. God is here. That's the word the Lord wants you to hear. When May and I got married, right before you get to the point where you say, "I do," I asked the minister if I could do something, and he said I could. I looked into May's eyes, and I had a guy over here ready, and I got my guitar, and I sang a song to my bride-to-be, and that song was called "Now and Forevermore," and then we said our I do's. And you know, throughout all of our marriage, It seems like those words come back again. For instance, when we write each other, sometimes we will end the letter to each other with now and forevermore. The opening words of the Gospel of John is a word from God to you. It is a song to you. And in every harp the herald angels sing, and in every old little town of Bethlehem, there is always the same truth. I love you. For it is love, the love of God, that sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is woven into all of our lives. And that is what Christmas is about. And that is what God wants you to hear. He is the Logos. He wants you to receive the Word who walks around, that he wants you to follow.
As we approach this Christmas season, may we remember that Jesus Christ is the Word we need to hear. For an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for Jesus is the Word We Need to Hear. You can write to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402, or call 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. This program is now available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, with a passion for God's Word, a heart for God's world, and a commitment to God's grace. Our mission is to gather and grow strong disciples of Christ, to be sent forth to make new disciples. Your generous gift sent to Faith for Living would be of great encouragement and would help us to get the broadcast out to more people. You're invited to send your gift of support to Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Now, until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.